Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio for this Tuesday, June the 18th, 2024. As always, thanks for listening to AFR. The roundtable here includes one Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Good morning, sir.
Ed, did you notice that the Boston Celtics won the NBA championship last
night? Yeah, their 18th banner. I'm wearing my green shirt.
You are.
They beat the Dallas Mavericks in five games. I will freely admit I did not watch the Celtics until the playoffs.
Okay.
It's one of those deals where I have a limited amount of time and I spend it watching hockey.
Right, and you like winners. Right? Don't we all?
I'm
all love watching winners.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't be able to watch them in the playoffs if they hadn't been. And they were a powerhouse. Just an excellent basketball team. So congratulations to them. I root for Boston teams. I don't say I'm a fan unless I can, name the starting lineup.
Okay. That's a good definition.
It is. I root for them. And historically, my life, I did that. I knew the starting lineups for the Boston Red Sox, the Boston Celtics, Boston Bruins. So I did that in the past, but you can't follow everything anymore.
Well, that's a personal requirement of yours. Do you also hold that to people in public? Do you call them on the spot and say, you're a fan? Okay.
Oh.
What's the lineup?
I don't. Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about doing it because I'm a sports fanatic and I get tired of it.
Yeah, people saying they're a
they're
fan.
They're a fan, yeah.
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 Can't name the
starting
lineup. No, don't
do it.
Okay.
Well, no, most people are. You got your hardcore fans of a school or a team.
Yeah.
And they're a minority. Most people are bandwagon.
Yes, that I think that's more. I should be more clear. That's more the frustration.
Yeah.
When someone like myself and others that are a committed fan, highs and lows.
Yeah, I'm a Boston Bruins fan.
There's a life lesson there.
Yeah, there really is.
You stick with your team through
thick or thin.
I will say this: when your team has thin,
yeah,
and you're thinking,
and you're still a fan,
and you're still then there's something wrong with you.
Okay. My dad passed away this year or last year. Wow. Okay. I used to always tease him because he was the world's worst quote unquote fan because he deliberately and bragged about the fact that he went to the winning to whatever team was winning. That was his new team.
You can't do that.
No, he root for the Patriots when they were winning. He'd go switch to the, he started off as a Green Bay Packers fan. Then he's a Minnesota Vikings fan.
That's a fan fraud.
Yes. And I used to tell him, don't even talk to me about my Patriots.
If you're not going to experience
Packers,
any heartbreak at all.
So with my son, I jokingly say things, and I coach his baseball team. I joke, and he watches basketball and other things. I'll jokingly say, "Well, that's illegal." Of course, it's a lot of things. It's not illegal. I just joke with him, but that is actually illegal.
Yes,
that should be against the rules.
Should be a law against that. Of course, he's in heaven now, so I mean, there's no claw back, no clawing back, and
anyway.
Punishing, but
so the Boston Celtics won the NBA championship last night.
They're 18th,
and now they have one more banner than the Los Angeles Lakers. Is that true?
I think that is true, and
that historic rivalry.
Wow, in the 80s, that was. I watched all the games.
Our age remember Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lakers versus the Celtics. What a classic matchup that was. But
the Lakers were better in that decade. They won, I think, three, maybe four championships. The Celtics won two.
Showtime.
Yeah, wow.
Magic, Kareem, all those guys.
You guys are missing the biggest
story,
event
Fred?
At all. Tonight.
Oh, I'm going to be watching the Edmonton
Oilers. The hockey games.
This is game,
game five.
Game five, yes.
Game five.
It's 3-1 right now, but it's back in Florida. Panthers are expected to win.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting for Edmonton for Fred's sake. The Canadian team to win that.
Listen,
cup.
I'm not a big NHL fan, but I don't think a team from Florida should be allowed to win ice hockey. I don't even know if they should be allowed to play.
Well, the Tampa Bay Lightning won 2 or 3.
There's championships. For all these illegal sports things we have an action alert coming.
An action alert.
AFA email action alert.
Yes.
Sports. We don't know where they're going to go to, but we're going to vent.
All right, Fred, what's your first real story?
Well, breaking news out of New York this morning. New York's highest court has declined to hear Donald Trump's appeal on the gag order that was put in place during his so-called hush money trial. And this is the original gag order. Mm. So it's gone up to the appeals court there in New York, and they said no. The gag order continues. Now, I think Trump's lawyers are going to go back to Marchand, the original trial lawyer, and ask that prior to the sentencing in July, that the gag order be lifted. This is, you know, Trump complained about this.
I've never heard of an appeal about any gag order in my life.
Well, I think the complication is it's during an election year.
But what's he not supposed to talk about that he hadn't talked about?
Well, I think the sticking point is that everyone else, like Joe Biden, can call Trump a criminal. He's convicted felon. He's done this and he's done that. And Trump is not allowed to discuss these trials under a gag order. He can't defend himself when others are attacking him.
The stipulation of the original gag order was that he could not make public statements about any witnesses in the case, jurors, prosecutors, court staff, or members of their family.
Isn't that standard operating procedure, though?
That was the order from Marchand, Judge Marchand.
What I'm saying is, what's wrong with that order?
Well, I mean,
you won't defendants out there talking about the jurors and their families and their.
I personally think you should be allowed to say this is a New York jury. I think they're biased. The judge should.
Well, he's already said that. He said that 1,000 times.
Well, he got fined $10,000 a pop.
The First Amendment says you can say it as much as you want.
Okay, the only part if I was serving on a jury, I wouldn't want the person saying, you know, that Tim Wildman, the juror, it is at 49574. And you know what?
Sure.
You know, make him know you don't like Trump being
that's. Yeah, that's different. Doxing someone, I think, is different.
Okay.
But let me ask you this. Is appealing it illegal, too?
Anyway,
is appealing it wrong?
Appealing it? No. No, he appealed the gag order. Yeah. But the court said we don't agree with the former president, and the gag order stays in in order. What this article says, the gag order restricts President Trump's core political speech. No, this is Trump.
These were the original conditions.
Anyway. I think the reason, I think any of us would appeal being any gag order, whether I understand there's a legal reason.
What's a gag order for? What's the point of it?
You
disagree with a gag order, period.
Yeah, I do.
That's what I wanted to know. Gag orders shouldn't even exist.
I think the only time you have a gag order is if a person can potentially reveal information that should not be made public.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think a judge has the right to gag a person's First Amendment speech. The jurors have already been selected, so you can't taint the jury pool. But by that same measuring stick, the media would have tainted the jury pool by criticizing Trump. So I'm opposed to all gag orders.
I got you.
This case, though, is so far out from any other case that...
Are we talking about again?
We're talking about the various cases against Trump. But in this case, most legal experts agree this was totally political in its nature.
You're talking about the Alvin Bragg case?
This is the Alvin Bragg case, yes.
Well, and Jack Smith, the federal prosecutor, wanted a gag order for Trump in the Mar-a-Lago case.
Yes.
And the judge there said no.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And this Marchand, I mean, he's got Democrat Party connections.
Right.
It's And it's an election period.
Okay,
and
that was an appeal to the who?
The New York appeals.
About the gag order.
Yes.
Not an appeal on the merits of the on the case. No.
Just the gag order.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you have something you wanted to add?
No, this is good radio. I'm just listening here. This is
you can share. Yeah. You want to share your heart?
It is good radio.
It is.
Yeah. I'm just going to
y'all are handling this really well. Carry on. Next
I just wondered
next story.
What the point of any gag order? So you're fundamentally against gag orders.
I am.
And that's
I am.
If you're a man of principle.
I am. Unlike my dad when it comes to being a fan.
Next story,
team.
Fred.
Well, President Joe Biden has another major announcement today during this election.
Does he know
it? He's apparently aware of where he should be today. We can talk about other occasions recently where he apparently had problems. Anyway, today, President Joe Biden is basically going to announce his latest amnesty plan for more than 500,000 people who have entered this country illegally. If after entering the country illegally, they happen to marry a U.S. citizen, this is the day they're going to celebrate because the President of the United States says, you know what, I'm going to award you a status that will eventually allow you to gain citizenship in this country. In other words, no penalty. As long as you get yourself an American spouse, you're in. That's what he's announcing today.
There's going to be a bunch of people lying to get married.
Yeah.
That used to be illegal. Yeah. It used to be illegal to come to this country and marry just to get citizenship.
It's like an anchor baby deal.
Yeah. The Biden administration is lawless. And in light of your earlier comment about whether he knows anything, every time I see President Biden now, it reminds me of that Disney movie Frozen. Because that's the way he looks every time I see him.
Oh, now
I tell you what we need. I tell you what we need for Biden: a gag order.
Yeah.
Okay. On anything having to do with immigration.
Yeah.
Illegal immigration. Listen, this is not funny. This is a very serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have a sitting president, and this says he's going to
executive order
unilaterally.
Yep.
Through an executive order. I tell you, he runs with executive orders and just says, "Stop me, catch me if you can."
Right. That's what I mean by lawless.
Yeah. Now I will say this: all presidents since Bush have exceeded their authority a lot of times on executive orders.
Absolutely.
To bypass the legislative process because they couldn't get it through.
Right.
Remember, President Obama said, "I have a pen and a phone,
and I'll use it."
Remember, he got tired of being blocked legislatively. Which I understand if you're a president, but still. But this policy, I'm reading from the Associated Press that Fred said that Biden's going to announce will allow nearly 500,000 spouses of U.S. citizens an opportunity to apply for a parole in place program, which would shield them from deportations and offer them work permits if they lived in the country at least 10 years. You know, all this stuff is, how do you prove you've been here 10 years?
Yeah. Hey, if you're done illegally.
Yes, Mr. Immigration Enforcement Officer. I just have you to know, I came to this country illegally 12 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
And I got a picture of me on the border right here.
Yeah.
See the date on that picture? I came here illegally.
That's why.
So I've been here 10 years, so you need to get off my back.
Yeah.
That's why the census numbers are never accurate, because what person who's broken a law is going to admit to it?
Yes.
Well, listen,
especially if you could possibly get deported.
Sure, exactly.
Listen, we're at a point where, we passed the point of the impact, the full impact of Biden letting everybody in the world come in here is going to be felt for decades to come.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wins in November.
Well, I think it'd be the number one reason he doesn't win. I've said that for 8 months now.
I agree with you. I agree.
It will be because of his border issue.
If he were to win in November, you talk about floodgates being open.
Oh, there'd
be no more border security.
I'm generally an optimistic person. But if Joe Biden and the radical left, because they would flood into his administration even worse than they are now. If they get another 4 years, I am not optimistic that our republic can survive. Let me just also add one other thing to, we're talking about these presidents. wielding a pen and a phone with their executive orders. There's an even deeper, more fundamental problem that allows them to do that, and that's all these alphabet agencies. They all have tremendous power, virtually unlimited budgets. And so when these presidents say, I'm going to issue an executive order, he couldn't do that if Congress had to then turn around and allocate money for it.
Mm-hmm.
They can only do that because Joe Biden, for example, says, I am ordering the Environmental Protection Agency to do such and such, transfer money out of one slush fund into another, and get it done.
Yeah.
But the fact that we have Congress has given all this authority to these huge unelected bureaucracies means that presidents then can wield that executive power and tell these alphabet agencies what to do.
Well, the latest example is the Department of Education. The bailouts for student loans are being done through the Department of Education.
Right.
We're talking billions of dollars now have been allocated for this.
Listen, I don't know when it's going to happen or if it will happen, but I could see it potentially. I could see it in the next 10 years, maybe. So, I know this is going to sound wackadoodle to a lot of people, and it may be. I don't know, but I'm just going to share my heart.
Right.
Hey, can I share my heart?
Absolutely. Share away.
Okay. And there's coming some kind of divide in this country. I'm talking about two different countries. I don't know how you work that out because you got federal government.
Right.
Got federal taxes. You've got Social Security. You've got national defense. You've got the judicial system. So I don't, that's why it sounds wackadoodle. And it may be. But I'm just throwing out the let me just say this. The frustration level on the part of people who live in red states is about to tilt.
That's right. Yeah. So well over 6 million people, a conservative number is there have been 6 million illegal immigrants enter the country, a conservative number, some will say 8.5 million. At minimum, 6 million people illegally through the southern border primarily and through planes have entered the country illegally, and many of those have been tied to crimes that have been committed in the country. They're also been tied to terrorism, those that are on the terrorist list. All those have happened, not to mention the economic downturn. Well,
The drugs and the human trafficking.
The drugs, human
gang activity.
And these numbers, the lowest he under the watch of Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, under his administration, the least amount has been 1.7.
You mean for a year?
Annually. 1 year is 1.7. That's the least amount. And the most that Trump had, the most, was just shy of 800,000, and that was the most. He had as low as Trump's first year in office, he had just north of 200,000. Compared to 2.2 million.
Well, also, it's the practical, real-life numbers that you just mentioned, Trump versus Biden. But it's also the attitude.
Yes.
The attitude. Trump's attitude was, let's control our border. Let's work out a deal with Mexico.
Right.
Where they help us because they're incentivized to help us. Remain in Mexico policy.
Yeah.
Those things.
And there's been a major shift, too. A couple stories. In 2007, there was a poll by the Gallup poll in 2007 where they polled Americans regardless of Republican, Democrats. And the majority of Americans in 2007 said, look, if you're here legally, let's work this thing out. Let's figure it out. Let's find some pathway of citizenship. And this is in 2007. Now, in 2024... In both February and April, two different polls, both say that the majority of Americans now want mass deportation regardless of the Republican or Democrat. And the majority of those are independent voters.
That's a stunning turnaround.
From 2007 to 2024, Americans are saying, you know what? And I think it comes back to all of this. The whole discussion comes back to the fact that we have, meaning a handful of Republicans on the southern border, like Abbott, has bused all of the illegal, a lot of illegal immigrants to these big cities who are now having to deal with their problem as well. We've talked about this before, and I believe that that was one of the best things that happened, because I've been frustrated since 2007.
Right.
But people that are just based on reading and knowledge and understanding how this works, how this plays out. But a lot of people just looked at it differently in 2007 until they got bused to their communities, and now we're seeing a shift, a hard shift.
You know, it's amazing what's happening. If you got a guy in your state and you find out he's a bank robber, he robbed a bank somewhere else, authorities in that state can arrest him.
Right.
There's a story out of Iowa this morning. A judge has ruled there. A judge has ruled that the state of Iowa, you know, I'm sorry, you just cannot arrest somebody. If there's a deportation order on them and they happen to be in that state, you cannot arrest them. The Iowa law would have allowed the state to file criminal charges against illegal immigrants who have outstanding deportation orders or who previously have been denied entry to the U.S. This judge, Stephen Lockers, he put the block on that, basically saying, no, a state does not have jurisdiction to do that. Immigration is federal jurisdiction. But these illegals are showing up in every state now is a border state. I'm not the right. first to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about numbers.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 5 months of this year, 1.4 million.
Yes, he's setting a new record. The Biden administration is setting a new record each month.
Yes, 1.4 million
their own record.
In 5 months.
Yep.
This is what's going
on.
And if Joe Biden is reelected, there will be no deportation.
Well, just take the numbers. Yeah. We know it's facts. We know for sure the numbers aren't going to go down. Like, if anything, they're neutral. Okay, so if you just take numbers and just keep them neutral, you double six that he's been able to accomplish in 3 years. You double that in another four-year term, you're looking at 12 to 15 million people that are here illegally.
I don't know if I'd use the word accomplish.
Oh, I know, right? Seriously. it's an accomplishment. I say it tongue-in-cheek. Yeah.
You know what? I don't want to philosophize this thing too much. Can you philosophize something?
You can philosophize.
Huh?
Absolutely. Philosophize.
But I can't philosophize it. I can philosophize it.
You can fillet it.
Philosophy is a noun.
Okay. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. I don't quite understand. I hope I'm not so sinister. This isn't just all sinister. I don't understand why Democrats want to flood our country with millions of people illegally. I don't know what they see as
a value.
That's an advantageous policy for our country to take.
Unless your expectation is that they will be Democratic voters eventually.
Yes.
When they're legalized.
That would be an incentive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said that long before you did.
even though you couldn't figure out why they were doing it,
I was asking a rhetorical question because I was.
In which he was.
Yeah. I was asking a rhetorical question,
yes.
Ed.
Okay.
Because I was sharing my heart. Ed.
Okay.
My heart, and you're making fun of me.
Making fun of your heart.
I'm just saying I think that's the goal. The goal is for Biden and the Democrats, and has been for the Democrats for a while. They won't say it like this out loud. Although Biden's starting to, when he's saying we got 500,000 people, as long as you marry an American, you're in.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's about saying it out loud.
Yeah.
And so what Biden and the Democrats are basically saying is everybody in the world can come here, and guess what? When we get the numbers to vote out these right wingers, we're going to make all you folks citizens.
Yeah.
Of America.
Yep.
And then you can go on the dole.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
we'll take care of you.
We'll take care of everything you want. We'll become a straight up socialist country.
That way we don't have to ballot harvest anymore.
Yeah. We'll be back momentarily.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe versus Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Okay, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Ed, Fred, and Wesley have so worked me up.
Ed, Fred.
I went for a second bag of popcorn, already having a first bag in the studio.
Well,
have you ever had that happen in your life?
No, never.
You get a second bag of popcorn when you don't really need it?
Never. I've never
you
done that.
You just go back for a second piece of cake when you don't really need it, right, Ed?
I'm actually not a big cake eater.
Well,
but
whatever. That's the metaphor. fill in the blank.
Pizza slice.
Now, you're saying it was a direct result of us getting you so worked that you forgot that
yes.
You had another?
Well, okay. I was trying to form in my mind how we have a second country.
And then that's when the second
bag of popcorn entered into my head.
So your analogy is going to be now how we get the...
Well, okay. Let me just say this, and this is, we're having a little fun banter with this, but I'm just telling you, and y'all know this, and many of our listeners know this, the red states in this country being forced by the federal government this crazy left-wing ideology that Biden and his administration are pushing, not by legislation.
Right.
But by edict.
Yes.
By executive order, like this Title IX garbage. You remember that? Now, I feel a sermon coming on right here.
You're getting wild up.
Here's what Biden did the other day, two months ago. We talked about this. Listen to this. He said the Department of Education, through Title IX funding, again, our country messed up way back when the federal government grew to this monstrosity that nobody even can control anymore and unaccountable. These three-letter agencies
right.
You're talking about. But I digress. Biden said, hey, Department of Education, Secretary of Education, write the states, write all 50 states, and tell them that if they don't accept transgendered people for what they say they are, with full participation in sports, women's showers, women's locker rooms, if they don't accept that, you revoke their funding. You take their, am I right, Fred? Am I recounting that?
That's it exactly.
Okay. That's what we're contending with now. So Biden is telling the states that you gotta allow a boy to compete against a girl in high school sports, or we're taking your money. We're taking the federal funding that is distributed all over the country, which is a whole other issue. Too many states are dependent on the federal government now for money. So but you're going to have things happen like Wesley mentioned Governor Abbott in Texas, the stand he's taking, and other governors too. But Governor Ron DeSantis the other day, in response to what I just talked about, he said, you know what? We're not complying.
Right.
I mean, that was a line in the sand. He said, Florida's not doing this, Biden. We're not forcing our girls to compete against our boys. We're not putting boys in the showers at the high school.
Right.
And so you keep your – I don't know if he said – he didn't say you can keep your money, DeSantis of Florida, but he said Florida's not doing this. So I'm saying – when you start reaching that level of response, where you know, Governor DeSantis could have said, "Well, we'll see what we can do. I don't know. This is disappointing."
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're going to get more and more governors who are going to say, we're not complying. And so that's a, what do you call that? A stalemate.
That's a constitutional crisis.
Right. Hey, I know who can solve a constitutional crisis. Dr. Alex McFarland.
Yes.
He can. Because he's a peanut farmer from North Carolina. And that's what they do.
They handle crises every day.
Constitutional crisis. Right. Alex, good morning, brother.
Good morning, my dear friends.
Alex, we've been talking. We've been talking some radical stuff here in terms of, you know, but in human history, you know, somebody may be sitting at these microphones 50 years from now, if the radio even exists, going, you know, in 2034 is when the red states split from the blue states. And mm-hmm. form their own country. You know, Ed and I were talking here off the air, Alex. I mean, I'm sure it sounded completely and totally radical when the colonists decided, you know what? We're not putting up with the British crown anymore. We want our own country. Those things do happen in the course of human history. Anyway, go ahead. What are your thoughts on what I've just been ranting about here?
No, it's great. And, you know, over and over, I want to say how much I thank the Lord for the American Family Radio Network. And I hear this as I travel. People say AFR is a refreshing word of sanity in a culture that's lost its way. And it's an oasis of truth and hope. But we really are in a bad place. And let me just say this, folks. It boils down to, among many things, but the constitutional crisis and the judicial crisis, and really what jeopardizes the preservation of the U.S. Constitution is our abandonment of belief in moral truth. And in some cases, people have willfully suppressed moral truth. And in other cases, it seems like people are just ignorant of it. And guys, regarding this Title IX, when I was president of a seminary and a small college, and then when I've taught at places like Liberty University or North Greenville University, we would always have Title IX training and Clery, C-L-E-R-Y, the Clery Act. And as you guys probably know, Title IX says you can't discriminate against based on gender, and also it's a crime to engage in sexual harassment or domestic violence. But what Title IX, what the Biden administration wants to do with Title IX, and by the way, they're basing this off a 2020 Supreme Court decision that nobody talks about, but it was a horrible decision, Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia. And I'm going to circle back to that. But Title IX, okay, you can't fire somebody just because they're a male or a female or refuse to hire. Sexual harassment is wrong. You know, violence is wrong. Stalking, harassment, obviously those things are wrong. Now, what Biden wants to do, though, is make the Title IX and the Clery Act include that you have to affirm transgenderism. And the Bostock case, I know everybody talks about Obergefell in 2015. Have you guys, Ed or Tim, does this ring a bell, the Bostock case of 2020? Have you guys talked about that?
Oh, yeah. I think it's pronounced Bostock case. Okay. Yeah, that was – yeah, go ahead. That was tremendously damaging because it –
Well, it was. And I'm going to tell you, it deals with two words. One is the word being. And the wording of the SCOTUS decision, I was very surprised. And let me tell you why I'm surprised, folks. And I know I sound like a broken record, but the philosophy in which the Declaration, Preamble, Constitution, and 27-point Bill of Rights was written, the philosophy is called natural law. Now, natural law says, and this is not, you know, the laws of physics. Water will boil at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not talking about that. Natural law says there are some things about reality that are nobody's opinion. Male and female are different. There's a moral code written on every heart. It's just like the Ten Commandments, but we have a conscience. And the idea of full faith and credit, the idea of equal accountability before the law, equal protection under the law, all of these things are the philosophy that made our government unique. Whenever we talk about American exceptionalism, we're talking about the fact that we were built around the Judeo-Christian moral code. All right, but in the Bostick, and forgive my Southern mispronunciations, but the Bostick case says that you cannot fire an employee for, quote, being homosexual or transgender. Now, the word being is very problematic because the Supreme Court in this decision is assuming that homosexual behavior or transgender behavior is an ethnicity. And it goes on and it says in the preamble or the rationale for this decision that in 1964, sex referred to male or female, but they're expanding that understanding to mean that sex or gender can be however you identify yourself. And so two big problems, and I'll throw it to you guys. They're assuming that homosexual transgender behavior is your ethnicity, and they're assuming that your gender can be fluid. And that goes against natural law. It is absolutely unprovable, unscientific, can't be uniformly applied. And this is, I truly believe, one of the most ill-informed and potentially disastrous Supreme Court decisions in the history of our nation.
Yeah, talking to Dr. Alex McFarland. Hey, you got your worldview youth conferences? Are you in the middle of those for the summer or what?
Yes. Sunday we start the second of seven. We're in Temple, Georgia. And guys, I got to tell you this. We had 32 kids accept Christ and get saved in Montana a week ago. Had 100 kids every day coming to the altar, praying for America. And I'm going to send you this video, Tim, of 140 kids shouting, "We are the generation who will restore America." Mm. And we're full up down in Georgia. After
you're
we get
full
to,
up?
Yeah, full we're up. Full up. 120 full kids in Georgia.
He's visited Tupelo, Mississippi way too many times.
Yeah,
full up.
He's full up down in Georgia.
Exactly.
But anyway, so you don't have any more space available, what you're saying, for the Georgia camp?
Yeah. 23 through 28 in Georgia. But we were in Montana this year for the first time because two moms in Gillette, Montana, heard me on AFR, and they came to South Carolina last year to visit our camp. Then we had the camp this year. 32 kids got saved. All these kids made decisions to stand strong. But all that is made possible because two moms heard me on AFR a year and a half ago.
Okay, so you got two down, and how many to go?
Two down, six to go.
Six to go. So where can people read about your upcoming? These are youth conferences that Alex is hosting this summer. Will they go on through August? July and August? When are they?
Yeah, we wrap up in August. And okay. It's biblical worldview. It's apologetics, defending the faith. But we say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
It's also patriotism.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. So how can people find out about the conferences?
Just go to alexmcfarland.com. And guys, we've also, I haven't sprung this on you, but I wrote what we call a first-time voter's guide that I've put up on my website to urge people to vote. June 27, I'm going to be on Fox News. I'm going to record with Fox News. There's a pastor, I've got to look into who it is, but this pastor wants to debate me on the fact, he says, I vehemently disagree. He says Christians have no business being involved in politics. Pastors have no business telling their parishioners to vote, he says.
To vote? And so, just to vote? Not even who to vote for?
Yeah. And so we're going to film and record a debate June 27. But I tell these teenagers.
You're going to win that one.
Well, I know my home is in heaven. But, you know, till we get to heaven, we must be stewards of our nation. And the good news is teenagers, man, they resonate with this.
All right, Alex McFarlane. So AlexMcFarland.com. No need for an A on the Mac, right?
That's right.
AlexMcFarland.com. Alex has got seven other conferences coming up this summer. Just list the states. Can you go through the states real quick coming up?
Yes. We've got Georgia. We got South Carolina. We got New Jersey. We've got Colorado. And we've got Indiana. And we, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We just did Montana. Yes. That's 6. And there's going to be one more, and I don't even know where it is, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, all I know is if you ever have one in Boston, I want to be invited to speak.
Exactly. We need to do that, Ed. We need to.
Well,
I've spoken in Boston a bunch.
Please come to Boston.
Please.
It's springtime.
Huh? That's a pop culture trivia reference that you've
got
to be.
Yeah, that's
I got
right.
it.
All right, thanks, Alex. Got to let you go, brother. Have a great day.
Hey, let me say one last thing, if I could. I'll be at the Cove, the Billy Graham Center, June 12th through 14th, and there's 25 seats left, thecove.org, and Angie and I would love to see you there.
I think you said June 12th through 14th.
Forgive me, July 12th through 14th.
All right.
I was going to say, you have a time machine where we can go back? July the what to the what?
12th through 14th, I'll be at the Cove teaching the book of 1 John. It's my 18th summer at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, and that's July 12th through 14th.
Okay.
And it's almost full, but I'd love to see you there at the Cove.
All right, thanks, Alex. Appreciate it, brother.
Blessings. Bye.
Take care. He's going to teach on what, did he say?
1 John. The epistle, 1 John.
Okay. For 3 days?
Man, if I got invited to the Cove, I'd teach on it as long as they wanted me to. 7 days? Absolutely.
Yes.
We'll split it up.
It's a great place to go, and Alex is from North Carolina, but he's talking about the Billy Graham Training Center in the Cove.
I'm going to be there next week.
Excellent. What are you going for?
He's running a 5K there.
No. I am strictly a student. Professors from Dallas Theological Seminary are teaching.
Is this on eschatology or something? Or
Book of Genesis this year.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
They've done Daniel and Revelation the last couple of years, but this year it's the Book of Genesis. For a whole week, you cannot beat it.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Also, they got great food there, and the scenery is wonderful.
It is.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Well, speaking of engaging the culture and politics and government and being part of making a difference for the positive side, we have a gentleman in studio with us who is a state representative in Mississippi. So he works in the legislature in Jackson annually and is a listener and a supporter and a good friend of our ministry. And he did staff devotion for us here this morning. So we said, why don't you come on in and talk about this? And Randy Boyd is in studio. Good morning, Brother Randy.
Good morning.
Randy, you're from about 20 miles from here, right?
That's right.
Did you grow up in Mantachie?
No, I grew up north of Tremont.
Tremont, Mississippi. Of course, that's
home of Tammy Wynette.
Tammy Wynette, yeah. So stand by your man of Tammy Wynette.
Yes.
Fame. We got all kind of pop culture references from the 60s and 70s. So how long have you been tell us how you got involved in, quote, politics.
Well, for years I followed politics just as anyone would. You know, it's patriotic, just wanted to do well in our country. I was a forester and a land surveyor. I graduated Mississippi State in 1976 with a forestry degree and later became a land surveyor as the need arose. And I worked in this area for a long time. And in 2008, our son, we lost him in an automobile accident one day when he was going to junior college over at Fulton. And it gave me time to sit back and reflect and decide what I needed to do. And God led me into this. I didn't really think about getting into politics before. I just, you know, that was just one of those things I just kind of brushed right aside. But I feel like God led me into it, and he put me down there. And one of the reasons he gave me was that I want to have some effect on how my grandchildren are going to be raised and where my great-grandchildren are going to be raised. And if I can affect some of the laws in this state, then that will give us an opportunity.
So you ran and were elected in what year?
2011 is when I ran. I went in first year 2012.
That's a two-year. No, four-year.
Four-year.
Four-year. So because different states have different laws.
Right.
About their state legislators. So you went into politics, decided to run for office. Did that surprise your wife?
Yeah, it did.
How do you break the news to her?
Slowly.
Okay. Well, by the way, honey.
Drop a few hints here and there.
Yeah, before we go to sleep tonight, turn and pray. I just want to let you know I'm running for political office next this fall. I don't really feel like.
You've been close to me then.
So what – being a Christian, you know, you hear, like Alex was talking about, you know, a lot of people say, well, Christians shouldn't be involved in politics because that's really not the Lord's work, or it's dirty, or it's you know, anyway, that kind of thing. How do you view it?
Well, I don't consider it to be inherently dirty. I think it's what you make of it.
Amen.
And my idea was to go down there and make things better. And, of course, I live as a Christian every day. And me carrying that.
When you say down there, by the way, you're talking about going to Jackson.
Jackson and the legislature.
Jackson.
Yeah.
And from where we live in Tupelo, that's, quote, down there. I just wanted
that's
people
3 hours.
That's,
yeah.
But go ahead. Yep.
But in the legislature, I'm known as a Christian. We have devotionals down there in the on Tuesday mornings where the House and the Senate get together and we have devotionals.
Right.
And I'm always there. People see me. I wear a cross a lot of times on my lapel to let people know that that's what I stand for. And not only do I wear it, I try to portray it in every way that I can. I help people. I try to be carrying a good attitude all the time. And, you know, it takes that to get rid of this dirty definition of politics. You do what's right, and you let people know that you're doing what's right, and you let them know that your vote's not for sale. It's you're going to do what's right regardless of the cost.
I think that's why, and you know this already, and that's why a lot of people are cynical about politics, both even from a local to a state to a national level. A lot of people are cynical about politics because they feel like it's all about who gets the most. It's business. It's money.
Yeah.
As opposed to representing people.
In other words, the money buys the policy. Not the policy is good for the public. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, and I think it's not fair, but there is a reason for that. There is a history of a lot of money having so much influence into politics where people who are
that's fair
the most powerful, the most wealthy get their way on things. So that's what a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's why lobbyists get a bad rap on things. I know some lobbyists that I trust in, you know, implicitly.
Okay.
But
lobbyist has become a bad word.
That's right. Yeah. But they can give you a lot of information. You know, what I generally do is I find a lobbyist that's for a bill and one against the bill, and I talk to both of them and pros and cons both ways before I make a decision. Of course, I do some praying too, but, you know, I let God lead me to what I need to do, and people know that that's the way I'm going to vote. I can disagree with the speaker, and sometimes that's not good, but I mean, our speaker's a fair man,
right?
And I think he does the right thing. And And most of
Speaker
the time,
Speaker Gunn, you're talking about?
No, Philip Speaker White.
I mean White. Philip was.
Yeah. But you know, I feel like he's going to make the right decision most of the time.
Right.
But I don't agree with my wife all the time. We've been married 50 years. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
you paid the price for that one.
not a full price.
I'm looking around all the men in this room.
Oh, you're on your own, sir.
But you know what? Here's the thing I wanted to emphasize here, because Randy, you're representative of this, pun intended there, I guess, and that is we encourage people. God may call you to run for mayor. God may call you to make, you know, all politics is local, to run for city council,
school board,
county commissioner, state representative, state senator, lieutenant governor, governor. Listen, the states are going to, and the legislatures and the governors are going to become more and more important as the federal government increasingly tries to impose its will.
Yeah.
And it's liberal leftist will on much of the country. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate you being in with us, brother.
Thank you for letting me come.
That's Representative Randy Boyd, who did South Devo for us this morning, and we invited him to stay over. He hails from Mantachie, Mississippi, just a few miles from where we sit. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.